Ever think back to, like, I don't know, a couple of years ago when everything just kind of stopped?
Yeah.
Travel bans, lockdowns, the whole nine yards.
Oh, for sure.
It really kind of forces you to face this like fundamental clash, you know, between keeping everyone safe and letting people and businesses do their thing.
It definitely brings that tension to the forefront.
Yeah.
And even though what we went through recently might feel unprecedented, this back and forth between public health and individual rights is like woven into the fabric of American law. Today, we're going deep on a landmark case from the early 1900s, Compagnie Française de Navigation à Vapeur v. Louisiana State Board of Health, that really laid the groundwork for how courts grapple with this tricky balancing act.
Compagnie Française, so a French company, right? What's the story here?
Right, a French steamship company. So picture this. 1902, their ship, the Britannia, rolls into New Orleans. They got 408 passengers, cargo from Palermo, Italy, and Marseille, France. But here's the kicker. Everyone on board gets checked out at the quarantine station, and they're all given a clean bill of health. No yellow fever, no nothing.
Okay, so healthy passengers, healthy cargo. Why did this even end up in court? What was the problem?
The problem is that Louisiana had this super strict public health rule in place. Yellow fever was going around, so they'd set up what was called a cordon sanitaire, basically a quarantine zone with a hard line drawn around it. And the rule was simple. No one gets in, no matter what. Didn't matter if you were healthy, no exceptions. It was all about creating this impenetrable barrier to stop the disease from spreading.
Wow, a total lockdown. So even though the folks on the Britannia were cleared, they still couldn't dock.
You got it. The Britannia was told to scram, basically. They had to sail on to Pensacola, Florida, which, as you can imagine, cost the steamship company a pretty penny. So they decided to sue the Louisiana State Board of Health, claiming what the state did was, well, unconstitutional.
Sounds like they had a decent case. So how did things play out legally?
Well, the company first took their case to the Louisiana State Courts. They were looking for money for the losses they incurred, and they wanted the court to stop the Board of Health from enforcing these kind of measures. The state court, though, sided with Louisiana, saying the quarantine was legit and dismissing the case. The company then appealed up to the Louisiana Supreme Court, but they got the same result. So what do? They took it all the way to the big leagues, the U.S. Supreme Court.
So this sets up a pretty major constitutional showdown. What were the steamship company's main arguments when they got to the Supreme Court?
One of their biggest points revolved around the Commerce Clause. That's the part of the Constitution that gives the federal government the power to regulate trade between states and with other countries. They argued that Louisiana's quarantine was essentially a big, fat roadblock to international trade, and that this was something the feds should be calling the shots on.
Makes sense. I mean, stopping a foreign ship carrying goods and people definitely sounds like it messes with trade. How did the court see it?
The court, in their majority opinion, did acknowledge that, yeah, the quarantine had an effect on commerce. But they said it wasn't Louisiana trying to mess with trade. It was them legitimately using their police power to protect the health of their people. They made it clear that states have a lot of leeway when it comes to health and safety, especially when there's no federal law directly contradicting what they're doing with this specific type of quarantine.
So the state's desire to keep its people safe trumped the potential disruption to international trade.
Yeah, that's a big part of their logic. They basically said that until Congress steps in and makes specific rules about this kind of quarantine, state laws meant to protect public health are allowed, even if they impact trade to some degree. This also brings up the concept of the Dormant Commerce Clause, the idea that states can't throw unnecessary wrenches into interstate commerce, even when there's no federal law explicitly saying so. Though in this case, the court decided Louisiana was in the right because they were just doing their duty to protect public health. What's really interesting is that this case basically set a precedent of giving state public health decisions during emergencies the benefit of the doubt. However, as legal thinking evolved, courts started looking more closely at whether these measures were reasonable and if they were narrowly focused on addressing the problem, especially when they significantly affect individual freedoms. So Compagnie Française may have laid the groundwork, but it's definitely not the end of the story.
Gotcha. So what else did the steamship company argue?
Well, they also brought up concerns under the 14th Amendment, specifically the Due Process and Equal Protection clauses. Their argument was that the quarantine, the way it was enforced, was discriminatory. They suggested that Louisiana was singling out Italian immigrants arriving in New Orleans while letting others enter the state by train from other parts of the country. They also claimed the enforcement was arbitrary, especially since their passengers were healthy, and said this violated their right to due process.
And what did the court have to say about that?
The court shot down those arguments, too. They looked at the Louisiana law and said it applied to everyone trying to get into the quarantined area, regardless of where they came from or their nationality. So no dice on the Equal Protection Clause violation. As for due process, they reasoned that given the risk of a yellow fever outbreak, the quarantine wasn't some random power trippy move, but a necessary step to protect public health, even if it meant some healthy folks got caught up in it. The basic idea was that during a public health crisis, the state has a wide berth to do what it takes to protect its people.
Makes sense. It sounds like the court was giving a lot of deference to the state's judgment in the face of this health emergency. Did the steamship company make any arguments about conflicts with federal laws or international agreements?
Yep, that was another big part of their case. They said the Louisiana quarantine butted heads with existing federal quarantine laws and also clashed with treaties the U.S. had with France and Italy.
So what was the court's take on that?
The court didn't see a direct conflict. They said those treaties didn't take away the U.S. government's right, and by extension, the state's right to do what's needed to keep their people healthy and safe. They also looked at the federal quarantine laws in place back then and said they didn't cover the specifics of Louisiana's cordon sanitaire, so the state was within its rights to act. The concept of preemption is really important here. It's the idea that federal law wins out over state law if they clash, or if federal law completely covers a certain area. The court didn't see any of that here.
So in the end, the Supreme Court sided with Louisiana. What was their final call?
Yep, they upheld the Louisiana Supreme Court's ruling, saying the state's quarantine law was A-okay. They basically concluded that Louisiana was reasonably exercising its police power, the state's inherent authority to make and enforce laws to protect its citizens' health, safety, well-being, and morals in response to a public health emergency.
So what are the big takeaways from this case, the really significant legal principles it established or reinforced? What should law students today really remember about this case?
A few crucial points came out of this ruling. First, it was a huge win for states' police power, especially when it comes to keeping their citizens safe and healthy. The court said it flat out, this power is beyond question. Second, the case confirmed that this power includes restricting even healthy people's movements and activities if it's deemed reasonably necessary to manage a public health crisis. And finally, it solidified the idea that states can do their thing in this area as long as they're not stepping on the Fed's toes. State authority reigns supreme unless there's a clear conflict with federal law.
Sounds like a pretty big win for states when it comes to public health. But you mentioned there was a dissenting opinion, right? What was the other side of the argument?
Right. Justice Brown, along with Justice Harlan, disagreed with the majority. Their main point was that keeping healthy people out en masse was overstepping the bounds of the state's police power. They felt it went beyond what was reasonably needed to protect public health. Justice Brown was also worried about the implications for the federal government's power over interstate and international trade and its ability to make treaties. He was concerned that this could set a precedent for states basically shutting their borders based on a general fear of disease, even when people were certified healthy. The dissent was essentially trying to draw a line in the sand, saying that while states have a lot of power, it's not unlimited, especially when it bumps up against fundamental rights or the Fed's authority.
So the dissenting justices felt the majority wasn't putting enough emphasis on the possibility of states overreaching and the importance of federal oversight.
Exactly. They saw the majority's decision as potentially opening a Pandora's box, creating a situation where states could go too far in restricting movement and commerce in the name of public health. They really stress the importance of the feds keeping an eye on things, especially when there are national and international implications.
This all feels incredibly relevant today. I mean, we saw a ton of legal challenges during COVID regarding travel bans and businesses being shut down. Do legal experts and courts still look back to Compagnie Française when these situations crop up?
All the time. Compagnie Française is like a cornerstone case when courts weigh state public health actions against constitutional rights.
Yeah.
It's a historical and legal basis for the principle that states have a lot of power to act during health emergencies. Of course, courts today also consider more recent legal precedents and the specifics of each new case. But the core principles affirmed in Compagnie Française about the scope of state police power and the deference often given to public health authorities are still very much alive in these legal debates.
This has been a super insightful look at a seriously important case. It really underscores that constant tug of war between protecting the community and protecting individual freedoms. So for our listeners out there, especially any law students wrestling with these complex issues, here's something to chew on. Thinking about this historical case, when do you think a state's actions to protect public health cross the line from being a reasonable use of their power to a violation of individual rights or federal authority? It's a question that keeps popping up in courts, and understanding the principles laid out in cases like Compagnie Française is crucial for navigating those tricky legal waters.
Absolutely.
I think that's a great place to leave it for today. Join us next time for another deep dive into a fascinating legal case. Until then, keep those legal minds sharp.
Looking forward to it.
See you next time.
Bye.